Hello everyone, it's good to see you all today. My name is Gina Garland and I'm a master's student at UC Davis, and I'm here to present some of my preliminary data, which is looking at how different conventional agricultural practices are influencing nitrous oxide emissions in a Mediterranean vineyard. So I'm sure that most of you are at least somewhat familiar with the nitrogen cycle, so I'm not going to go into too much detail. I just want to point out two important processes for nitrous oxide production called nitrification and denitrification. Nitrification is an aerobic process where ammonium is oxidized into nitrate, and denitrification is an anaerobic process where that nitrate is then reduced to nitrogen gas. And as you can see in this diagram, nitrous oxide is often produced as a byproduct of each of these reactions. And as most of you are aware, nitrous oxide is a very potent greenhouse gas. It has almost 300 times the global warming potential as carbon dioxide, and it's also produced primarily through agricultural manipulations of soil. However, there are very few studies that look at nitrous oxide emissions from vineyards, and even though over 800,000 acres of arable land are devoted to vineyard production in California alone, there are really no decent estimates of nitrous oxide production in these systems. Furthermore, it is very unclear how different conventional agricultural practices influence the controls on these factors such as soil moisture, ammonium concentration, and nitrate concentration. Therefore, the objectives of this study were to quantify annual nitrous oxide emissions in a Mediterranean vineyard, to compare differences in seasonal and climatic events and how they affect the magnitude and duration of those fluxes, and then also see if we can determine the mechanisms involved with each of those different events. So here's a picture of our beautiful study site. The location was Arbuckle, California, which is about an hour north of Davis in Northern California. The soil is a willow silty clay, which is about 48% sand, 20% clay. The carbon and nitrogen ratio is 11.2, the pH is 7.2, and the bulk density is 1.3. And the average annual temperature here is 21 degrees Celsius, and it rains about 43 centimeters per year. And as far as management practices go, this is about as typical of a system as you can get for Central California wine production. They irrigated a total of 16 centimeters per hectare through the surface drip irrigation, which you could see in the last slide. I can't go back. Fertilization occurred once at a rate of 5 kilograms of nitrogen as urea ammonium nitrate, which was also applied through that drip irrigation system. And tillage occurred twice by disking to a depth of 6 centimeters. And in the fall before the study started, they planted a leguminous cover crop in the tractor rows, which was then incorporated during that first tillage event in fall at the beginning of the study. So we divided our vineyard into two different functional locations, the vine and the tractor row. And so in the tractor row, measurements were taken right in the center of that cover cropped area in order to measure emissions from cover crop incorporation and tillage events. And in the vine, the measurements were taken underneath that drip irrigation system in order to capture emissions from fertilization and irrigation. And what distinguishes this study from a lot of other nitrous oxide emission studies was the frequency of sampling. So while a lot of studies only sample once a week or once every couple weeks, we wanted to get a very thorough flux emission pattern of the year. Therefore, we measured daily for a period of 7 days following each fertilization, irrigation, and precipitation event, and for 10 days following each tillage and harvest event. And we measured nitrous oxide emissions using a closed flux chamber, which you can see in the top two pictures. We removed air headspace at three equal time intervals and injected that into a pre-evacuated exitainer, which we then took to the lab and ran on the gas chromatograph for analysis. At the same time, we also took soil samples to a depth of 15 centimeters next to each collar, which you can see in that picture, which we were using to get an idea of the mechanisms involved. So the first thing we did after we gathered our data was to develop a mixed effects model. The fixed effects we used were location, so either the vine or the tractor row, soil moisture, nitrate, ammonium, day, and the interaction of all of those. Our random effects were the different replicates in the different rows. And so as you can see in our results, the location, the soil moisture, the nitrate, but not ammonium, the day, the nitrate location interaction, and the soil moisture location interaction all had a highly significant influence on annual emissions in this vineyard. So based on this, although we would have to do a controlled study, perhaps with isotopes and perfected lab conditions to know the exact mechanisms, we can hypothesize that denitrification was the major process influencing nitrous oxide emissions, since denitrification needs nitrate as a substrate as well as a high soil moisture content, both of which were significant in this model, whereas nitrification requires ammonium, which was not a significant factor. However, we do see some emissions that we can contribute to nitrification. It just wasn't the driving point, which denitrification was. So in this graph, we see the annual nitrous oxide emission pattern on top, the percentage of water-filled pore space in our soil nitrate concentration, and then soil ammonium concentration for our vine location. So if we start up at the top, we can see that the biggest events influencing nitrous oxide emissions are the fertilization event and the first major precipitation event of the year. So if we look at the fertilization event, we see a rapid increase and decrease in soil ammonium concentration, indicating that perhaps nitrification is the main event here because ammonium is required as a substrate for nitrification. And then if we look at the soil water-filled pore space during this time, it's also around 60%, which is in aerobic conditions, which is perfect for nitrification but not denitrification. However, if we look at the flux, which corresponded to that first heavy precipitation event of the year, we see an increase and decrease in nitrate concentration, as well as a spike in water-filled pore space up to 80%, which is an anaerobic condition, which is good conditions for denitrification. So we are contributing that flux to denitrification. And we also looked at the correlations between each of these parameters in nitrous oxide, and you can see that by the R-squared and p-values that there's a slight positive influence with all of these, but not really one factor stood out. And then looking at the same thing for the tractor row, we see that compared to precipitation events, basically none of the conventional agricultural practices such as cover crop incorporation and tillage have any effect whatsoever on emissions during that growing season. And one of the reasons we think this is true is because, as you can see, the water-filled pore space during the summer is very, very low. It's about 5 to 10% for the majority of the growing season, which we think limited microbial activity, and so that's why we see such few fluxes. However, we see that following that first precipitation event, we get a spike in water-filled pore space up to about 80%, which is perfect for denitrification, and a rapid increase and decrease in nitrate concentration, which again would indicate that denitrification is occurring. And although this study doesn't show it, I have a feeling that having this leguminous cover crop here, although we don't see an immediate flux after it was incorporated, I think that one of the reasons we see such a huge flux after this precipitation event compared to the vine, which I don't think I can go back, but this flux here is up to 400 grams of nitrous oxide in during that one event, whereas in the vine it only went up to 25 grams. So there's a very big difference between the tractor row and the vine. And I think that a large part of that was having that leguminous cover crop in your row. And again, we did correlations between these parameters and nitrous oxide, and we see slightly positive influences with water-filled pore space and nitrate, but not ammonium. There was no significance with ammonium, thus suggesting that denitrification played the biggest role in the tractor row. And so when we total the cumulative nitrous oxide emissions for each location and season, we see that the vine produced about 0.13 kilograms of nitrous oxide per hectare in the summer, about twice that, or 0.28 kilograms in the winter. But then looking at the row, it only produced 0.07 kilograms in the summer, and a whopping 58 times that, or 4.1 kilograms in the winter. And again, the majority of that increase in the winter emissions for both locations is based on that one flux from that first major precipitation event of the season. However, if we think about how the vineyard acts as a whole, meaning we factor in the spatial differences between the vine and the row, where the vine is about 30% of the vineyard and the row is about 70%, we can see that the adjusted cumulative flux is only about 3 kilograms of nitrous oxide per hectare. And we also calculated the emission factor as done by the IPCC, and you can see that it's 5.8%, which is much higher than the 1.25% used by the IPCC to estimate global emissions. And so this just goes to show that if we had used the IPCC's method to estimate emissions here, we'd be grossly underestimating the vineyard emissions, since it's actually much higher. Okay, so then when trying to think of ways to develop best management practices in a vineyard, it's important to take into account both when and where in your field your emissions are taking place. So we, in this top box, we divided the we looked at how many of the emissions were coming from the winter versus the growing season. And so for the vines, about 31% is happening during the growing season, whereas 68% is happening during the fallow season. On the rows, on the other hand, only about 1.7% is coming during that growing season, whereas 98.3% is happening during the fallow season. And so this just shows that there's a lot going on during those precipitation events, and so it's important to keep in mind when thinking about best management practices. Furthermore, when we think about the vineyard as a whole, so vines 30%, row 70%. Only about 4.1% of your annual emissions are coming from the vines, and 95.9% are coming from the rows. So the vines aren't really the culprit in these emissions. It's really the tractor rows in between the vines that are having the biggest influence on annual emissions. So in conclusion, we found that the precipitation events are having the largest influence on annual nitrous oxide emissions, especially in the tractor rows, in that more of those emissions are coming during the fallow season than compared to the growing season. We found that fertilization had the biggest influence during the growing season, and that, of course, was only in the vines, but that overall the rows were producing more than the vines. And so, again, like I mentioned, when developing best management practices to reduce these emissions, it's important to know that your emissions are not coming uniformly from your vineyard. They're happening at certain locations and during certain times of the season, so it's important to factor that in when trying to develop different practices. And although this study doesn't show it, my recommendation would be to use a non-leguminous cover crop in your tractor row, or perhaps a mix between legumes and non-legumes in order to reduce those emissions following that first precipitation event. And then I just want to point out that overall the emissions in this vineyard are quite low compared to a lot of high input annual cropping systems, and that's probably due to the drip irrigation system used as well as the low amount of nitrogen applied, which both lead to a high water use efficiency and nitrogen use efficiency and thus pretty low emissions. And I just want to thank you all for listening and thank the California Energy Commission for funding this project. If you have any questions, I'd like to answer them.
Question.
Mm-hmm.
You came up with 4.5% emissions, but that was due to fertilizer?
Kilograms, you mean? Like,
yeah.
That was mostly from the precipitation event in the tractor rows.
Yeah, but there's no fertilizer applied in the tractor rows.
Mm-hmm.
So emissions, you used the 1.25 that IPCC uses, but that's for fertilizer emissions.
Well, I calculated how much the leguminous cover crop nitrogen fixed, so I did a biomass analysis, and so I calculated that it fixed about 47 kilograms of nitrogen in that tractor row.
Okay. It's not due to fertilizer.
Mm-mm, not due to fertilizers.
Well, I would suggest that you should try to run the model because it's pretty ambitious and to derive the emission factor based on 1 year measurement and manual chamber, considering the spatial availability. And that's rainfall. Next year may not happen.
Mm-hmm. This is. This is a continuous study. So this is just my preliminary data of the first year.
And also, you know, you make it one measurement per day, and every day. So that's a lot. But here we know the nitrification happened hourly. The variation is very a lot in the given day.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm saying. You know, it would be useful to use the model rather than based on this measurement to derive the annual figure.
That's true. In our lab, we're actually developing, we're making these machines that will measure it multiple times a day, about four times per day, and so that'll give us a better, clearer view of total annual emissions.
What was the percentage of the fertilizer that was lost?
5.8%. Well, actually, so I did it separately, the emission factor with the vine and the row, and when I looked at just the row, the emission factor was about 8.2%. Which I didn't show here.
What was the application rate of nitrogen?
5 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare.
It just seems oddly high for the emissions. I was wondering why.
I don't know.
Because
there was such low amounts applied, so.
Thanks. Just regarding not just the total input from the residue, but regarding the quality of the residue, like CN ratios and polyphenols, is there any aspect of immobilization or mineralization brought about? You see no N2O fluxes following the crop residue input.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a possibility that the crop residue input has caused immobilization of the end?
It is. I haven't really looked into it that much, but that's a possibility, and the low water-filled pore space is a possibility. And so I would have to explore that further.
You mentioned it was 5 kilogram per hectare
mm-hmm.
of nitrogen. Do you see any model that would predict if you had a higher rate of application, what you would expect?
I haven't looked into it. That's for this area, that's like the basic amount they apply, so I'm not sure.
Yeah,
did you have a control plot that was unfertilized that you, so you can distinguish mm-hmm. between the background emissions and the contribution of your inputs?
No.
So you're saying the 5 kg total emissions.
Mm-hmm. I have one more question. Time for one more question. Any more questions? Thank you.
Thank you.